Greetings from Pakistan. In my language, I always say salam. And before I bring greetings, I really want to say one thing. The music was wonderful. It was just super. Thank you. So, talking about Pakistan, I really want to bring greetings to all of you. And from 256 Presbyterian churches in Pakistan. And I want to bring greetings to all of you from 13 Presbyterian schools, 4 boarding houses, over 5,000 students studying in the Presbyterian schools, 60% of them are Muslim, 40% Christians, then Women Empowerment Project, a She Project working in 40 communities in Pakistan. And of course, I bring greetings to all of you from my 2 granddaughters, bundle of joy, and my 4 sons, 3 of them are married now. Last but not the least, I bring greetings to all of you from my husband, with whom I was engaged when I was 3 months of age. After 33 years of my marriage with him, I can say he's a good man. And for love marriage, my mother always said, love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. Dear friends, it is an honor and privilege for me to be standing here and to be sharing the good news from the gospel. Before I share that, I would like to share a story. And this is a story of World War II, when a beautiful lush green garden was destroyed in Great Britain. For many months and for many years, this garden was totally neglected, rejected. Passers-by, people would look at the garden and they would think about the beauty of that garden, but no one was doing anything. One day, a homeless gardener decided to work on this garden. He pulled out the weeds, he added manure and fresh seeds, and he started watering them, and community people started joining in. The gardener worked day and night. Ultimately, the garden looked beautiful. And there were flowers like roses, jasmines, petunias, zinnias, dahlias, name any which were there. The passers-by would look at the garden. They would really like it. They would appreciate it. And the birds were chirping there. Mr. Smith, a renowned person in that community, came over to the gardener and he said, you know, this garden looks beautiful. You really worked very hard. The gardener was very humble and he said, you know, it is all God's work. Mr. Smith said, I have been looking at this garden when God was working alone. The biggest difference is made, dear friends, when we work alongside God, and that is what has happened. And the greatest and highest call anyone can receive is to partner with God where He's already at work. And the truth of the matter is, God is at work everywhere. And before we go into the word of the Lord, I would like to pray in my language, which is Urdu. I strongly believe God hears me when I call Him in my language. Let's pray. I, Yesu, tere paas aati hoon. मेरी सुबान का जिम्मा ले आज जो बीज बोया जाए 100 गुना 60 गुना फल आने वाला हो अब्बा मेरी दुआ सुन ले रूहे पाक उतरा आमीन आई वुड लाइक टू रीड फर्स्ट वर्स ऑफ जेनेसिस चैप्टर 12 Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord told Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. Leave your country, your relatives, your father's house. Can you think of yourself? Can you imagine it for a minute? If that is a call coming your way, leave everything. And when we read this Abraham story, we see God is calling Abraham to walk with him. And it wasn't a very comfortable journey. The more I read about it, it's very interesting to see Abraham is not asking no questions, no excuses, and he's not complaining anywhere in the whole chapter. Of course, Abraham planned, he talked to his wife, he showed courage, he had confidence, and he did all the preparation what he had to do, and he was trusting in God, and ultimately he had victory. More important for us to note is that he accepted the call with courage. And sometimes we wonder really what courage is. Courage is grace under pressure, and courage is doing what we really are afraid to do. And many times, if we are not afraid, then we cannot show courage. We can read so many stories of courage in Bible. Of course, Abraham leaving at the age of 75 his own people. And we think about Moses. He was standing before the Pharaoh. Moses was afraid. He couldn't talk properly. The most interesting story always is of David, a little boy, as he faced Goliath. And David picked up 5 stones. And these stones, one for courage, one for confidence, 3rd for preparation, 4th for trust in the Lord, and the final one was for victory. We can go on reading about the courage of the people in Old Testament, in New Testament. Peter and John, when they were standing before Sanhedrin, they had the courage to talk about Jesus. The holy courage of Jesus, when he walked to Jerusalem to die for the world's sin, is unparalleled. And really, the truth of the matter is, courage starts from within the human beings. And many times, courage moves our limitations beyond our limits. And courage is a call to trust in the Lord. Today, standing here, I am so moved. Pastor Don's wife, Kathy, is sitting in the pews. It's so wonderful. When I can talk about the work of the missionaries, these American Presbyterian missionaries, the parents like Kathy's, Audrey Carlson, Don Carlson, people like that, those who went to my part of the world. These missionaries had been there from 1800s. Missionaries had the courage to step out of their comfort zone, to move to an unknown area, and to move with faith. The missionaries discovered God was calling them. These missionaries, your great-great-grandparents, those who made a revolution, those who brought a lot of change in my part of the world, like Abraham, they never ask any questions. They had complete faith in the Lord. One time I was talking to one of the missionaries and I said, how can you really understand that this is God calling? And she said, when your heart and mind is synchronized for the cause. That is where God is calling you. And these missionaries would move from different villages, going to villages on donkeys and carts. Many of them died of cholera. Many of them died of drinking dirty water. But they never gave in. They were always moving forward. They were establishing schools, they were establishing hospitals, they were establishing churches in Pakistan. And that was the time in early 1900s, Mohanda Bibi, a young girl belonging to a poor family, was brought into the mission, one of the missionary Presbyterian schools. Mohanda, in this boarding house, she was clothed, fed, educated. After completing her graduation from the school, she went to a teaching school. She became a school teacher, got married, had two daughters, and I always say the youngest, the brightest one is in front of you. I had the permission of my older one to say so. And dear friends, had Mohanda, my mother, not been educated by the missionaries, I wouldn't have been what I am today. This good work of Presbyterian educational work was going on in Pakistan. Unfortunately, in 1972, government of Pakistan took control of our schools. In 1998, we got those schools back. And when we got these schools back, the church in Pakistan was rejoicing. Once again, we had an opportunity to build peace, love, tolerance in a society through our schools. And once again, we had an opportunity to build bridges between Christians and Muslims in Pakistan. And once again, we had an opportunity to bring new life to the dry bones of educational system in Pakistan. And once again, we had an opportunity to be an agent of peace in that society. And that was the time really when I joined in 1998, February. I joined in with the Presbyterian work. And with the commitment to be working for 2 years, and those 2 years are still not over. And I still remember, it was 2nd February 1998. That was the day when I had to take my job. And I was like, okay, God, I know you are listening. So here I am going to go for your work, God. This is Presbyterian work. And I had Bible in my hand. Usually I don't do it like that. But anyway, I said, God, give me a passage. So I opened the Bible. And I was like hoping for word of wisdom from the Bible so that I can have some guidance. And when I opened it, the passage was about the dancing girl asking for the head of John the Baptist. And I'm like, I'm sure, God, this is not it. I closed it and I opened it again. And it was the same message. And I was like, God, it seems you are not listening. I am in hurry. And maybe some other time. And dear friends, believe it. Down the road, in a couple of months, that passage made sense to me. If John the Baptist can suffer, if Christ can suffer, who are we to complain? And many times when we look into the life of Abraham, and I wonder what is so special about the people who are called. But the truth of the matter is, it does not matter who we are, and it does not matter really what we are, and it does not matter where we are. There is not enough goodness in any one of us to merit God's call. It's God's grace that when we show courage and trust in the Lord, He pour power on us. And our biggest problem is that many times we trust ourselves more. We trust on our talents, and many times we trust on our wisdom and on our intelligence. But the truth of the matter is, God knows it, because as it is written in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And it's also written in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And this is a call to be transformed by God. Abraham, looking into his story, we see that he was called to let go. He was called to let go all his doubts and fears. He was called to let go all his passions. And he was called to let go of ways of doing things. And he was called to let go his worries. And that is what God is calling each and every one of us. 365 places in Bible, dear friends, it is written, "Fear not," one for each day. And we all have to learn to let go and trust in God. Abraham was called to surrender everything. He was called to trust in God and not himself. And in return, we see fourfold covenant with Abraham, a covenant for hope and trust. God said, number one, "I will make you a great nation." Number two, God said, "I will bless you and make you a great name." Number three, God said, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who will curse you." Number four, God said, "I will bless all the families of the earth through you." Abraham learned to let go. And when we look into his life, he left at the age of 75. His firstborn, Isaac, was born after 25 years. He kept waiting with faith. He had trust, and that is what God is calling each and every one of us to need to have trust in God's power, dear friends. Like Abraham, God is calling each and every one of us today. God is calling us to have right relationship. God is calling each and every one of us today to let go our doubts, let go our fears, let go our passion. Trust in God, trust in His power. And as it is written in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the world." The Holy Spirit brings power and courage and helps us overcome our fears. There is power in His blood. There is power in this church, and there is power in His gospel, and there is power in you and me. Dear friends, may we all have courage to hear His call. May God bless you all. May God bless America, and may God bless Pakistan too. Amen.